matchless, majestic, marvelous, one of a kind, savior, healer, baptizer in the Holy Ghost, banker, and anything else you love him to be. Of course, we talk about none other than Jesus. Nobody else qualifies for those descriptions. We trust that the word will bring you today will benefit you, will strengthen you, answer some questions, give you revelation, give you light, show you light at the end of the tunnel, because that's what his word is designed to do. Amen. All right, so open our Bibles. Let's open our Bibles, the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 41. And let's get a glimpse of the word on the subject of prosperity, divine prosperity. Again, let me remind you, when we talk about divine prosperity, we're not just talking about money. Money seems to be the one element of it that is most lacking in the lives of just about everybody, except the few billionaires and multi-millionaires. Even millionaires have some lack. you got to get them to the multi, not to have any material, that is, and so forth. Hallelujah. Amen. And all the millionaires in the house said amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we're not just talk about just money, but there's a lot more to material prosperity than money. But that seems to be the one that most everybody lacks. And yet, folks, the devil is involved with that, of course, to resist any knowledge being brought forth about this, at least on a consistent basis. And so we're called to do that. And so we'll give you a lesson on it this morning, as is our custom. You know, Jesus had customs? Oh, yeah, he did. All right, so Genesis 41, look at verse number 55. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Mm-hmm. We cried to God. They cried to Pharaoh. That's all they knew. And it turned out Pharaoh didn't have it either. Whoo, Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Folks are crying to all kind of places that are zero. Don't have it. Not as much as they ought to. Like I've said many, many, many times. I'm going to say it to the ladies. I'm going to say it again today. Nobody can afford you but God. Did you hear me? If you took all your dreams, everything you'd like to have or do, or places you'd like to go to, experiences you'd like to have, your job couldn't help you do that. Your business couldn't help you do that. But God can. And the good news is he wants to. If you look up to him. Amen. So they went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't have it. So Pharaoh sent them someplace else. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Mm-hmm. Pharaoh said, go to Joseph. I ain't got it. I wish I did. I'm happy, but I don't have it. My goodness. Go to Joseph. He's got what you want. My goodness. Are you seeing this? We've got what the world wants. Again, like Andre Crouch sang in the 60s. Jesus is the answer for the world today. It was true in the 60s. It's true today. It'll ever be true. Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do. My goodness. Go to the Lord in prayer. We just hummed that song. What peace we often forfeit because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And then do what he tells us to do about it. And keep doing it. That's sometimes that's the problem. We start and then we stop. Naaman, the leper, had to dip 7 times. 2-3 times wouldn't have done it. Amen. Elijah sent his servant out multiple times. Go look. Master, there's no rain, no sign of it. Go again. Master, no sign of it. Go again. No sign of it. And then finally, here came the storm. Sometimes that's the issue. We start and then, we start looking at how it feels and how it looks like and what we haven't heard. And then we say, well, I guess I didn't hear God. Hallelujah. Go to Joseph. Go on to Joseph. And he's going to tell you something. But that's not the end of it. You got to do what he tells you to do. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Go unto Joseph what he saith, do. You should see yourself as Joseph. How many times people of God read something like this? Instead of seeing themselves as Joseph, who is dispensing by the power of God and the wisdom and the ability of God, dispensing stuff to help people, believers see themselves as Egyptians. Hallelujah. Amen. Next time you read the book of Mark and you see the woman with the issue of blood coming to touch Jesus' clothes, see yourself not as the woman, but see yourself as Jesus. Amen. My goodness. Because that's what he said, isn't it? He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. The problem is we're not looking at ourselves as part of the solution. We look at ourselves as the one that need the solution. Instead of being dispensers of it. Joseph was a dispenser of solutions. Hallelujah. See yourself as Joseph. Amen. Not as an Egyptian. That's been God's plan the whole time. I will bless you, make you a blessing. He blessed Joseph and made Joseph a blessing. But if you're not expecting to occupy that role, you never will. You just won't. It comes by faith. It takes faith. It takes belief. It takes agreeing to play that role for God to make it happen. God has prospered us, but I have been, I have dispensed a lot of ideas that have helped people prosper. I'm thinking of a few people that I know now. I said, why don't you do this? And they did it, that about then one did it, and here comes a blessing. Some of them have called and left messages and didn't call me back. So, what can I say? See yourself as Joseph, not as the Egyptians. Hallelujah. Because you are the anointed one. Did you know that this was said by Jesus as well? You remember that? Look at the book of John. John chapter 2. I can just tell you about it. I want you to see. I can just start on you and say, oh yeah. John chapter 2. Jesus has been invited to a wedding. I think now you know. Yeah. Now you know. And they run out of wine. Every time I say that, I have to remind people now. This is not Budweiser wine. Yeah, Jesus made turn water into wine. All right, yeah, but you know what you're drinking is not the one that Jesus turned the water. You're drinking one by vodka or something. That's different. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with it. It alters your mentality. That's what's wrong with it. Amen. God doesn't want you turning over your mind, any part of it, not an inch of it, parking it in neutral, anything of that sort. Mm-hmm. He wants you in control of your mind 100% of the time, 24/7. Mm-hmm. That's what's wrong with it. Amen. It's not this holy, and that's been the problem. People don't explain it. They just say, I don't drink alcohol, don't drink wine. Why? Because of the effect it has on your mind. That's why. God wants you to remain sharp. I mean, don't give the devil a chance he ain't got coming. You know.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so then they lack wine. And so his mother says, hey, Jesus, can you help these guys out? You know this story, tell this story. And Jesus, it wasn't time yet for doing any of these miracles. But you know, when mama asks you to do something, what you going to say? You going to turn her down? Most of us won't. Woo! And so, and so he says in verse 4, Jesus on the heart, woman, what am I to do with you? Like, you hear me say, I can see it yet. You should, mom. You know this. There's no time yet. What is this? And then she just walks away. I'm convinced she just turned and walks away. She goes, I know he's going to do it. I don't understand him talking about it. He's going to do it. I'm his mama after all. I sure enough, he does it. He does it. But here's what she said to them, though, as she walks off. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Exactly what Pharaoh told them to do. Go to Joseph. Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Exact same thing. And both of these individuals, of course, Jesus, Joseph, anointed. Answers were coming from God. So, see yourself as Joseph. See yourself as Jesus. It was said of Jesus. It was said of Joseph. It's supposed to be said of you. Amen. Your circle of friends. Huh? Your family. You should be the repository of godly wisdom. They may call you a holy roller and all of that. But when they get in the jam, you know who to call. Amen. Amen. They may say every Christian is a hypocrite, except you are a clog. You mess up that thinking. You're like, yeah, but I know at least one person who is not a hypocrite. So all Christians can be hypocrites. Amen. That's who we're called to be. Jesus, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Let's get on with this. And here's how we are able to do this. Because we have been enabled to do it. Huh? Amen. We are able to do it because we have been enabled to do it. Joseph had been enabled to be the solution. So what's Jesus? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 30. But of him are ye in the anointed one Jesus, who of God has been made unto us wisdom. That's what it takes. That's what it takes. And righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Made unto us wisdom. Wisdom, basically defined, is knowing what to do with the knowledge you have. He said, go, he will say some things to you, but make sure you do them. Wisdom is knowing what to do. Knowing the next thing to do. and the next, and the next, and the next. Wisdom is more valuable than knowledge. Amen. You can have a lot of knowledge and never put it to use. Profits you nothing. In fact, wisdom will lead you to gain knowledge if you don't have knowledge in an area. It is the principle that the Bible says in that regard. And so he has been made unto us wisdom. You remember now, whenever Pharaoh had a dream, Joseph didn't look to himself to interpret it, huh? He looked to wisdom to interpret it. He came from wisdom. And wisdom told him what to do for the 7 years of plenty and for the 7 years of famine. And we have been made, Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. I've told you many times before, don't you ever say, I just don't know what to do. That's only because you haven't asked him who knows what you should do. That's it. That's the only reason why you don't know what to do. Either that or he's told you and you act like he hadn't told you. Can I get a witness? You're praying and fasting about this. When you all the whole time you know what to do. Hallelujah. He has been made unto us wisdom. Look at what wisdom does. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Look what wisdom comes with. The territory of wisdom. Why does it take me? Okay, if you stop talking, maybe you get to where you're going fast. But if I'm not talking, then it's just silence, right? So, Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number, where we going? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Proverbs 3, look at verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. It'll get you silver. And silver without wisdom will get you into a whole lot of trouble. Amen. That's part of what the Bible means by saying that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money without the wisdom of God to know what to do with it will land you in all sorts of trouble. The merchandise of silver, the gain thereof, than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. That's where I got the pit name for my wife. And all the things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand. This is what comes with wisdom. And in her left hand is riches and honor. I mean, if you have riches and honor, there's nothing else you really have to have. Honor is character. Honor is a relationship with Jesus. Him as your Lord and Savior. You have the means and you have the character. Boy, you got it made in shape. A lot of folks who have the means but no character. A lot of folks have character, know the law, but no means. Job had it both, which is why he was a target of the devil. Wisdom of God. Right hand, length of days. Left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, pleasure, and all her paths are peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing out of place. All eyes dotted, all T's crossed. Wisdom. And Jesus has made unto us wisdom. We have this. We have been enabled to be Josephs in situations such as this. See, we're still talking about prosperity. This is prosperity. Not just having riches, but also having honor, having character. Okay, let me round this up. So as a Christian, you are a carrier. You are a Christian. Huh? Christian. The word Christ means anointed one. You're not the anointed one, but you are a anointed one. You are a chief of the block. Glory to God forever. A Christian. Christian. And just like he was able to turn water to wine, situations come up, you're supposed to be able to make a difference. Amen. Thank you, Lord. People who sail with you don't get to drown. Amen. They didn't get to drown with Noah. Neither Jesus. People who fly with you shouldn't have to, can't go down in an airplane crash. I didn't drown with Paul either. Amen. Hallelujah. If your child goes to a school, your grandchild goes to a school, that school is automatically secure. Glory to God. If you haven't sent an angel to secure that school, you ought to do so. Send them now. Tell them you got a grandchild or child or niece, nephew. And I want you to secure that school on account of them. See, these are things that sound so, you know, almost like braggadocious, or it's just like they're otherworldly. And they're all scripture.
Amen.
They're all scripture.
Amen.
If you were God, you remember Jesus? The devil tempted Jesus and said, if you cast yourself down upon this steeple of the, you know, he'll give the angels charge over you and they'll hold you. You know, that was true, except, you know, it was coming from the wrong source. Amen. You are precious in his sight. If you had the power to secure your child, would you do it?
Amen.
He does. And through him, we do. That's the point. But too many Christians just lay around and do nothing about it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, last scripture, then we'll go on. Look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. You are a carrier. You are the solution going somewhere to happen. You are a peacemaker. Didn't Jesus tell us that? Peace. What is peace? Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing messed up. You're part of the solution. Never part of the problem. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, you know the story. A man who loved the Lord as much as he knew how. Didn't know. Was groping in the dark. Much like we prayed this morning. Had a little light. Didn't know that the light had come. Hallelujah. And so, but was praying. Praying and giving. Giving and praying. Praying and giving. Giving and praying. He got the attention of the Father. Maybe some Christians who haven't heard from God in a while, maybe they ought to start giving, huh? I know that's not what you want to hear, but I work for another one. And it says it right here. I didn't make this up. Chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. It says right there. God keeps counts. Keep account of giving. Amen. Some people wish he doesn't or think he doesn't, but he does. There was verse 1. There was a certain man, Caesarea, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian. This guy was a centurion. He was a Roman. He wasn't even Jewish. But he was devout, verse 2. He feared God as much as he knew how. Huh? Remember we talked about the law of conscience? How did he know to fear God? Conscience? We talked about that. A devout man, and one that, in fact, I think my last teaching letter is about it. A devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms. He gave much alms. Not just some alms, much alms. You can't separate generosity, a giving spirit, from God. You cannot. And if you're a stingy Christian, you're not reflecting Him well. And I'm not taking any of that back either. Amen. That's just the way it is. Give much alms to God, to the people, and pray to God always. And then he saw in the vision, evidently the ninth hour, an angel. God sent him an angel. Why? Well, we're about to find out. Coming to him, saying unto him, Cornelius, when he looked up, he was afraid. What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers end. A whole lot of Christians are praying without the end. You talk to them about tithing and they get all upset. That's in the Old Testament. Why don't you go back and leave the Old Testament? You pay the tithe. Claim to be New Testament Christian and talk about, you should do more than that. Shouldn't you? Shouldn't you do more than that? They didn't have Jesus. They didn't pray to Jesus. You do. But how come you're doing less? I'm not taking any of that back. Like it or lump it, that's the way it is. So it's right here. His prayers and his giving. Not just his keep prayers. Pray in tongues 15 hours every day. Don't give a penny. Maybe a penny to the kingdom of God. You love Jesus. Prove it! His prayers and arms have come up for a memorial before God. How come the angel didn't tell him what he had to know? Because the angel wasn't a carrier. You thought I'd digress. I didn't digress. I'm a man on a mission. Those were side trips, side exits, And we're back on the highway now. How come the angel didn't tell him what he had to know? Angels are not carriers of the gospel. We are. They're not the carriers of prosperity. We are. They're messengers. So he came to deliver a message. He said, now, verse 5, sent to Joppa. There's a carrier over there. And call for one Simon, whose name, his surname is Peter. He lodged up with a Simon the Tanner, whose house, you talk about GPS. AI. This is AI before there's AI. Hallelujah. My goodness. Give him the street address where Simon is. He lodged with one Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He'll tell you what to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was gone, Cornelius heard and did what the angel did, and said for Peter. Peter, you can read the rest of the chapter. Peter came and preached the gospel to them. Why? Because he was a carrier. He was a Joseph. He brought the solution. The angel didn't. That's who we are. Amen? Amen. Okay. Ooh, glory. All right. That's the end of message number one. And I'm trying to find a closing here. So if you like teaching like this and so forth, you want to help us spread it, there's a website www.bereagoshenchurch.org, and you can obey God there. And we don't say that much because we talk so much about the subject. We don't want to give an idea that we're just money hungry or something. No. We're trying to get you the money. We got our share. All right. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
Loading.
Okay. This is how we do our editing, so we don't have to. All right. So let's talk about demonology, the devil and demons. Does the devil really exist? Oh, yeah. Jesus said he did. He does. He would know, wouldn't he? Where did he say that? John 10:10. The devil's not just some, you know, force out there of evil. No, no, it's a person. It's evil personified. John 10:10, Jesus said that the thief cometh not. Well, by saying that, he was telling you what he does. He's emo. He's a thief. Everything he has been stolen. Any power he has is stolen. He's a thief by nature. A few other things as well. The thief cometh not but for to steal. That's how he's a thief. To kill is a murderer. All of these murders you've heard about, guess who's behind all of it? All of it. Every single one of it. He's behind it. He's the chief murderer. He it is who puts the idea in the mind of anybody to murder anybody. Or to steal anything. To commit any kind of fraud. He's the thief. Comes to steal. To steal. And to destroy. He's a destroyer. But oh, thank God, he can't just go destroy anybody he wants to. Because Jesus went out and said, but I am come. Glory to God.
Amen.
That you might have life. What does life do? Protect against death. Huh? So he was saying, I'm your protector against this jerk. Hallelujah. I've got life to protect you from his murderous intentions. And he's stealing and killing. And so Jesus taught us that this is a person. It's not just some kind of evil floating around and so forth. No, it's an evil personified. The devil does exist. And that's some of what he does. So we'll talk about that somewhat. And many times that the name has been used in scripture and so forth. So let's look at our key scripture here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. This is the main scripture we're going off of. To whom we forgive, 2 Corinthians 2:10, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also, for I forgave anything, for if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgive I it in the name, in the person of the anointed one Jesus, lest so that Satan not get an advantage over us, which means he doesn't have an advantage. He can only get it if you give it to him. And one way you give it to him is by holding grudges, by not forgiving. And we'll talk more about those things in the future. And so as far as we talked about it, devices, the word devices there is the word schemes, wiles, sly ways, designs, subtlety. It's evil, but it's subtle. Huh? It's wireless. It doesn't just come barging in. It looks for an entrance. It hopes to do his dirty work undetected. Partly why I'm teaching this. And so as we began to talk about this, last week we talked about the Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2, the gap theory. And the Lord wants me to say more about it. And so go ahead and open, go to Genesis chapter 1. So the gap theory is the idea that there is a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. Because Genesis 1:1 says in the beginning, we don't know when that beginning was. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And some people, some Christian scholars, people that, you know, I've learned a lot from, people that are, these are not disreputable people, these are reputable people, okay, that I think that this, I believe that they've got this point wrong. But they think I'm wrong too, so one of these days, Jesus will straighten us out. I happen to think he would tell them, Sheena was right the whole time. So that, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, Genesis 1:2, it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And so something cataclysmic must have happened. And they say it's because when the devil fell, you know, all hell broke loose, and that's why. So then Genesis 1:2, it's actually a recreation, not a creation. That's the gap theory. But of course, I believe in the bud theory. And what we read in Genesis 1:1 simply represents a bud stage of creation. This is the beginning. So no wonder it looks chaotic. Every construction site looks chaotic. Until you're done. And so then, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, I believe it's 1:4. Okay. And God saw the light, and it was good. Huh? Notice that. God saw the light, and it was good. Look at verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called his seas. And God saw that it was good. Okay, that's important. Look at verse number 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. That's important. Look at verse 18. And lo, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Okay? And look at verse number look at verse number 21. Okay? The same phrase at the very end of verse 21. And God saw that it was good. Okay? Now look at verse number 25. Here comes the mother load of it all. Verse number, what does it say? 25 says, and God saw that it was good as well. Now I saw that it was good. Verse 31 is where you get the mother load of it. And God saw everything that he had made. Saw everything, that he had made. And behold, it was very good. So this tells us God was creating from good to very good. After every single act of creation, God made sure to inspect it and make sure it was good. And then went to the next one, and when it was done, he looked at everything else he created to make sure it was very good. This is exactly what you would do if you were building something. So this supports the bud theory of creation. If you're building a house, you get the land and clear it. Then you dig and put the foundation. You go about your business, let it set, right? Come back and inspect the foundation, make sure it's good enough before you do anything next. That's exactly what we see happening here. And after all of it, it's good. And so Genesis 1:2, Genesis 1:1, everything is under water. We're not told where water came from. We're not told how God created water. Did you notice that? We know water is two molecules of oxygen and one of hydrogen. We know that. But we're not told where it came from. We're just told in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so this state of affairs was not good. So God set about making sure that it would be good. So again, as far as I'm concerned, that's the better translation of what happened, and not the gap theory. God stopped each time to examine and pass judgment on what he had done to make sure it was good. The earth being submerged underwater was not good, and so God set about making sure it would be good. And think about this now. In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And then God improved the earth. The rest of the planets are still in their bud stage, are they not? Think about it. The little we know of Mars, well, sure, it's a wasteland. That's how Earth was. Wasteful. obligation to this creation to improve this unimproved real estate. You know what that is like? Huh? That's what he did. He has not improved the Mars and the rest of them, so they are still in the butt stage. Here's something else. Those who believe in the gaps theory say, all of this is related to, you know, to the devil and demons and their beginning. That's what we're doing here. Because those who believe in the gap theory should say that the devil at some point was the ruler of the earth. God put him in charge of the earth. I don't see too much support of that. And I know there are some scriptures people point to, but I don't find those convincing. So they say the devil's sin destroyed everything else, which is why God had to recreate it. But when you look at the God's MO, when God judged Noah's world, he left a survivor, didn't he? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So how come he didn't leave a survivor in the so-called pre-Adamic world? How come he didn't leave a survivor? When God threatened to wipe Israel out, Moses was going to be the survivor. Look at Exodus 32. Let me show you that. Looking at God's MO. And remember now, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Somebody says, you never know what God's going to do. Yes, you do if you read the Bible. God's not some mysterious being there that nobody ever knows what he would do. He doesn't even want anybody to know. That's not him at all. That's not him at all. God will reveal everything about him if you are that interested to know. Did you know that? You can know more, as much about God as you want. In fact, Jesus prayed and said that when the Holy Ghost comes, he will take what's of him and show it to us. The issue is we haven't been too interested to know. Well, put your finger there in Exodus. Let me show you that. Because people, God's MO is out there on display. He wants to be known. Huh? That was the whole point of sending Jesus. To leave us. Another scripture comes to my mind right now. He wants to be known. He's not some mysterious God up there where you never know what God's going to do. Yeah, you do. He's the most predictable being you ever had anything to do with. Amen. Your husband, your wife may not be predictable. Your friend, your colleague, your boss. Jesus, the Father, God is the most predictable being that ever exists. He's not trying to hide himself. He wishes more and more people knew him. And those of us who know some about him, he wishes we knew more about him. John chapter, 16? Verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, John 16:13. He will guide you into all truth. How much of truth is left out of that? I don't even have to read any further. He says, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all, yeah, all truth. He's not trying to hide anything. Issues we haven't been too interested to know. We don't have time. About 5-10 minutes every morning? Huh? We gotta do this, gotta do that, gotta do the other. Oh, Jesus. He will guide you into all truth. Guide you. So if you follow him, the God doesn't make you come. The lead. If you follow, they'll keep guiding you. What if you quit following? That's been our issue. Oh, man. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. What do you suppose the Holy Spirit will hear? all of it. And he will show you things to come. Oh my. History is a study of what's already happened. That's kindergarten. That's we'll talk about knowing things that haven't happened yet. Oh man. How many things do you know of that haven't happened yet? Not because you can't, because you're just not interested. You haven't asked. You haven't gone after that. When Daniel did, he gave him a vision. He showed him what's going to happen. Remember? Bob tested Daniel, fasted 3 weeks to find out some stuff. And guess what? He was told. In fact, scripture tested the very day. He set his heart to study and to find out some answers. God dispatched an angel. And the devil, demons, got in the way. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. He's not trying to hide anything. He's MO. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, he shall take of mine, and show unto you. Huh? Jesus said, all the things the Father has are my things, and he will take of mine, which means he'll take of everything the Father has to show unto you. If you're interested. Okay, so back here in Exodus, God's MO is a very predictable being. He wants to be known. And so back here when he, again, like I said, when he destroyed, he judged Noah's world, he left a survivor. That's his MO. When he threatened to wipe Israel out, he planned to leave a survivor. Exodus 32, verse number 10. When they wouldn't obey, he wouldn't do what he said. At one point he said, Moses, just let me get rid of all of them. I'll start over with you. Did you read it? And Moses talked him out of it. He said, no, don't do that. Because the heathen would say, you are not able to deliver them, is why you destroy them. Now, therefore, let me alone. Does this sound like you? Sometimes. We are more like him than you think. He's our Father. He made us in his image. How many times have you said that you didn't even mean it? Oh, Jesus. Makes me think of my dear mother. She would say that a lot. I didn't mean a word of it at all. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Huh? Moses would be the survivor. Okay? And so then, and here's something else. Whenever God judges this world we're in now, guess what? We are going to be survivors. So how come there was no survivor from this so-called pre-Adamic age? Because there was not a pre-Adamic age. Somebody says, now what about the dinosaurs? What about the dinosaurs? That the scripture in the scripture that suggests that the dinosaurs were contemporaries of men. So now the science doesn't think that. I know it doesn't. Yet. Do you get that? You don't know that yet. How many times have they discovered a planet that they didn't even think existed before? They're catching up. One of these is going to catch up. No, don't let that bug you, because science doesn't say, oh yeah, I know it doesn't, but that's because they don't know yet. They can't say something they don't know. Oh, man. Don't you take spiritual things and so? No, I'm not denying science. Of course not, right? But you don't put it over. If the Bible says something and science doesn't, don't think that it's wrong because science doesn't. It is not the governing authority. Scripture is. That doesn't mean you are anti-scientific. It just means that you realize that, you know, science is a method of discovery. Okay? If you lost your keys, that doesn't mean the keys don't exist. You just don't know where they are. You know, science will help you find out where the keys are. The keys exist if you never find it. Right now, I'm looking for a pair of glasses, really nice glasses. Believe in God for our Lord, I put, they exist somewhere. So that's the nature of it. You know, don't make it look like, okay, well, because science says dinosaurs and that, then therefore, no. Which reminds me, Genesis 1:1. Were this 24-hour days? We don't know. Most Bible scholars call them creation days. That's the best you can see by. Could have been a billion years, 10 billion, who knows between them? Don't know. Okay? But if you said they couldn't be 24 hours there, no, you can't say that. Not by scripture. Because you'd be saying that God couldn't have done it in 24 hours, which he could have. See, you see that? That's how you correctly parse scripture and compare it to science and so forth. Because the moment you say this could not have been, you're saying God is not almighty. The Bible teaches he could have created the whole thing in 1 hour. Yeah, but we don't know how. We're not going by what you know, because you don't know much anyway. Amen? You know later, you find out. Amen. While we were praying earlier, worshiping the Lord, I'm worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden, because the men when we were praying earlier had said that, you know, they're busy trying to create data centers. Remember me saying that? And I said that he is the data center. And while we're worshiping the Lord, he said to me, he said, I like what you said about data centers. He cracked me up. I got trouble blind. Oh, yeah. I said, I like what you said about data centers, because I am. That's who he is. The rest of it is just discovering what already is. Huh? If you're discovering what already is, you're always behind, are you not? You're always behind. You're always going to be behind, because you're going to be discovering, you know, what is. What is already is. Science is a process of discovering. Oh, my. Mm-hmm. And so this is God's MO. And if there was a pre-Adamic creation, there's no survivor. Why not? The rest of it will be survivors. When he judges this earth, we are going to be the survivors. And so the some of these things that lead me to conclude that people who think about a pre-Adamic creation are not correct. And look at Genesis 2. Oh, our time is up, isn't it? Yeah. Look at Genesis 2:1, and then we'll begin the process of I'll stop it today. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Isn't that interesting, what the way that is put? It says, thus. What does that mean? This is the way. What we see happen. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Oh, wow. Then there was a beginning, right? That supports the bird theory. Okay, good, very good. And then it said, this is how it was finished. Amen. And so the devil didn't run anything. And we don't have time to get into it, but let me just bring this to your relevance. So far, this just sounds like Bible school stuff. But how does that relate to you? Okay? Here's how it relates to you. It means that you haven't arrived yet. And I haven't arrived yet. Why? Because he hasn't finished with us yet. As much time as we give him, as much room as we give him, as much obedience as we give him, he's bringing us along. Huh? Hallelujah. He's bringing us along. That's how it relates to us. And so it's important to know these things. He's a God that starts in, because he already finished. But from our vantage point, we're kind of like science. We're walking this thing out. Amen. Well, I'm out of time. We'll pick up from there next class. Next Bible class. Yes. And by the way, I have used other words in the class too sometimes. I forget. Woo, glory. We love Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your light. Oh yes, your light. You're not a God that is hiding himself. Doesn't want to be discovered. Oh no, oh no. You want to be known. You sent Jesus to reveal who you are. Hallelujah. And after Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit to finish the job, to keep revealing who you are. And as much time as we'll give you, as much interest as we'll give you, you reveal yourself to us and help us know you more than we've ever done before. That's our desire. That's what we want. Thank you for your help. For your help in using the wisdom to devote the time necessary to know you more and more. From one level of revelation to another one. Help us, Father. Thank you for your help. Further insights into this subject, the devil and demons will know who he is, who you are, who we are. Put him in his place. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. Everybody say, amen. 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 My friend, do you know Jesus? He wants to be acquainted with you. He died for you. He's been knocking on your door, waiting patiently to be allowed in. So he can be your guide through life. The abundant life, where you enjoy peace that passes all understanding. In the midst of all hell breaking up around you, you are just as peaceful as can be. Because you're living by the dictates of another planet. What an experience. Why wouldn't you want to have it? I know you do. Excuse me. It begins when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So pray this prayer with me. And mean it. Not just saying some stuff, but meaning it with your heart. If you don't mean it, don't pray it. Don't get into religion. Okay? But if you mean it, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Paying for my sins. Past, present, future. Glory to God. I thank you for being resurrected for my benefit. I thank you for being my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my banker, my counselor, my lawyer. I receive my prayer language. I receive direction from you regarding what church to join. A church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your help, I'll live the rest of my life to serve you to the best of my ability. Thank you for it. Amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer, my friend, you meant it, then you are a changed person. Doesn't matter if you feel differently or not, you are a changed person. Because he would never lie. He has never not received anyone that came to him. So we receive you today. And all right, so we invite you to come worship with us. There's plenty of room here for you. If you're not too far off, meaning you're further than an hour away of driving. If you are, keep watching, because we'll be back here next week, same time. We love you. Amen.